This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock of the Money Podcast, episode 109. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement, financial independence. I am Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is an in-house corporate lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, Amanda?
Oh, you know, just getting ready for tax time.
Yeah. How's your GameStop stock?
Well, you know, I did not get in on that.
No, I didn't either. Well, my long-term winners aren't doing so well, but they were until this nonsense, but
they'll be doing well again. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I tell you what, tax time is getting more and more complicated year over year for me. It's like I have so many pieces of paper I need to collect.
Well, it's a good thing you don't do your taxes, right?
No, and I wouldn't at this point in life.
No, you're running.
For a couple of reasons. One, I probably could. I feel like I'm more than qualified to do it, but I'm more concerned about flagging it for an audit then.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah, no, so for me, it's worth paying someone else who is a professional to do it, because you're, at least I believe, you're less likely to be flagged for an audit when you have this type of the type and amount of income
involved. No, I agree with you. In rental properties, and it's a little more complicated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would stay out of that. What do we have on this episode?
Today, we're going to talk about a number of different topics through our social media questions.
Oh, nice. I always like these. People like these.
Yeah. So I mean, we get to cover a lot of ground a lot of different topics just based on what people are interested in and asking about.
It forces us to compress the answers down instead of doing the whole 15 minutes on one thing. I think people get a little zoned out on that. So it's a nice way of doing this.
Pretty boring.
Yeah. Here's question number one. You ready? So we're almost done with baby step two, and we'll have a fully funded emergency fund in about 6 months after the emergency.
So baby step two, just a reminder, baby step two is paying off all of your debt,
right?
Except your mortgage.
Mm-hmm. And a fully funded emergency fund is baby step three,
which is 3 to 6 months of your expenses.
Right. So they said we're almost done with baby step two, and we'll have a fully funded emergency fund in about 6 months. After the emergency fund is funded, I have a traditional 401k plan at work that matches 5%. Should I just put the 5% in to get that match? I was thinking about opening a Roth IRA. Do I put 10% of my net pay into that? And if I max it out, do I just increase my traditional through work?
So your work probably also offers the Roth contributions to your 401k. This is a thing that a lot of people are misguided about, and even I was initially. You get put into a traditional 401k if you do nothing else.
Right.
But you can change your elections so that you're contributing to your 401k with Roth contributions. Again, Roth is just a fancy way of saying whether or not the money you've contributed has been taxed yet or not. So, for example, I have a 401k through my full-time job, and I make Roth contributions to it. So I pay taxes on it before it gets contributed to my 401k. So I would speak with your 401k provider and ask that your contributions be made on a Roth basis. The company match will still probably be traditional. But you can either choose to keep that as a traditional part, or it's like they separate your 401k into buckets. Then the provider will track what money has been contributed pre-tax and what money has been contributed post-tax. So you can either keep that match traditional, or you can convert it. Just know that if you convert it at any point, you need to pay tax on it.
There you go.
So that's the first part. Number one, make sure you're contributing Roth. I don't know of any plans that don't allow that, but I could be wrong. And if it's not an option, then I do agree with you that you should just contribute up to the match. If that's your only option is to do a traditional contribution and then do the Roth IRA. Now, if you are able to make the Roth contributions to your 401k, then I would do the full contribution to the 401k Roth version, your 15% there.
Yep.
But otherwise, you're on the right track. If you have no option but to do a traditional contribution to your 401k plan, then yes, I would just do up to the match and do everything else in your Roth IRA. And then if you max that out because of your income level, the 10% puts you above that, then I would go back and, yes, continue to contribute to the 401k.
Something they do in radio is called teasers. Question number five is also related to this. It involves baby step four, which is your 15% and company match. So that's coming up. And that's
coming up.
That's related to a lot of people in the airline because I get that question a lot. So I'm going to say that. That's question five.
Okay. So that was a pretty complex question, but you're on the right track.
Yep.
Just one little tweak there. Make sure you're contributing to your 401k on a Roth basis.
And seriously, kudos to that person, by the way.
Yeah.
They're doing good. Doing good.
Doing good.
Question number two. I'm new to the group and I have a question.
Okay.
I took out a 401k loan a while back to get my house. I know that was a mistake. Smiley face emoji. But since it's already done.
Yeah.
It's already been done. Let me ask you, is this considered debt in the snowball?
Mm-hmm.
It's paid back with interest into my own account through payroll deduction.
Yes, it's a debt.
There you go.
Debt in the snowball. Yeah, this is not. So a 401k loan, yes, is a huge mistake. We've harped on this again and again. So, but what's done is done and we're moving forward. Mm-hmm. This is a debt in your snowball and it should be treated as such.
And for those of people that already know it's a mistake, it does not give you an excuse to go do it now. If you already know it's a mistake, don't do it. They probably did not know and they didn't.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think it's not a mistake and that's fine. Just don't do it again. We will haunt you in your dreams. Question number three. Do you include the value of your home equity in your millionaire status tally?
Yes.
Yes,
yes you do. Yes. So let's talk about this for a minute because I am now doing, as of this year, because now it's finally fun, I am doing a net worth calculation. Yes, finally. I'm doing a net worth calculation at the end of every month. And I got super excited middle of January because the stock market was doing so well. And then it was kind of like, wah, wah, the last week of January. But anyway, so in order to calculate net worth, it's pretty simple. So you're going to tally up all of your assets. So your home and the equity you have in your home is an asset, but I'm going to set equity aside for a moment.
Okay.
Tally up the value of all of your assets. So your home, any other properties that you own, your retirement funds, what are the balances of those, your savings account, your checking account, any other account that I'm not thinking of or listing off right now, anything that you have that is of value, you want to make a list of that and designate the value of it. So, and the value of your home is different than what you bought it for. You want to know what your home is worth as of today. And sometimes that's hard. I usually just do a guess based off of, so you can go to Zillow and they have the Zestimate on there. It's not super accurate, but it's a good place to start. You can look at the Zestimate for your home on Zillow, and you can look at what other homes in your area, like on your street, have been selling for that have the same number of bedrooms and bathrooms and similar square footage. That'll give you a good ballpark. It's not an exact science, but you don't need to be exact. It's more of a guesstimate at this point.
Right.
So that would be the value of your home, not what you bought it for, but what it's worth today. And hopefully it's more than what you paid for it. Sometimes, like in 2008, it's significantly less than what you paid for it.
Right.
So
bad that people walked away from their houses.
Yeah. So that's the value. Now, what you have, and so do a full tally of the value of everything that you own that is of value. And you can include your vehicles if you'd like. I don't because I feel like that's kind of weird. Like I have a car, but if I sold it, I'd still need to get another car. So to me, that's kind of a wash, right?
I do the same thing.
Yeah, but you can. Anyone who's going to tell you the official way to do it would say, yes, you would tally. Like, for example, if you're getting a divorce and you have to tally up your assets, you have to include your car. So, so it is an asset and you can include it. I just don't because to me, that's kind of weird.
It's probably one of the things that depreciates the quickest anyway.
It does. Yeah. So it's just going to make it look worse. Yeah. So I just leave it out of the calculation, but you certainly can put it in there if you think that, you know, that's going to add to your net worth. So that's step one, the full list of everything you own of value and put the amount of its value there next to it. And that amount can change month over month. So the value of your home might be one thing one month, and then because of the market conditions goes up the next month or goes down the next month. So it is a calculation I do each month. The second step is in the column right next to it. You are going to mark down if you have any debt against that asset. So if you still have a mortgage on a home, you have to subtract the amount of that mortgage from your value, and that'll give you your net value on, in, or otherwise known as equity on the home. So if we use an example of if you have a home that is, let's say, you know, a $200,000 home, that's the value of your home, and you still have a mortgage of $150,000 on that home, then the value of your home is really only $50,000 because 200 minus 150 equals 50. Make sense?
Yep.
So, once you have your value, your equity on all of these things, so obviously there's not going to be any subtraction going on with what is in your checking account or anything like that. But you also then, in addition to subtracting like mortgages or anything else from the things that you've already listed as value, you also need to list out any other additional debts that you have. So if you have credit card balances or 401k loans, like we just talked about in the last episode, or anything else like that, your full list of debts has to go into the subtraction column. So you have all of your things of value in the plus column, all of your debts in the minus column. You do that simple math, and that'll give you your net worth.
There you go. Simple.
Yeah. Simple.
Yeah. Don't overthink it.
So I'm keeping a spreadsheet, and now I track it every month to see if it goes up or down.
All right. Well, how about we take a quick break? And we got three questions coming up, one about company match and baby steps. Another
Roth
401k.
That's the teaser.
That's the teaser, and we also have a Roth IRA question, as always. It would not be an episode without a Roth IRA question.
And a or question two about, or three.
Did you ever have savings bonds as a kid?
I did.
We have a question come up about savings bonds.
Yes, okay,
good. I know they exist still, but apparently they do. So let's get into that right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money. Amanda and Craig, we're here. We're here on your side. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the latest episodes. And check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/rockonthemoney. You've had savings bonds as a kid, right?
I had one. Yes, my grandparents bought me a savings bond when I was born. I don't know. I don't remember if it was like supposed to be. I think it was supposed to be a $50 savings bond, which I thought was so much money when I was a kid.
Oh my God. So much money.
Yeah. And I held on to it. I held on to it until I was in college, and then I cashed it in. I think I got a whopping $100 for it.
There you go. Wow.
But it was cool, you know? It was
it's cool.
And then you have to pay tax on that.
Of course. Of course. It's not tax free. Because someone that wants to know about them. Just curious, what do we think of savings bonds? I have a friend that said it's a great investment for kids. My daughter is 3, so I think I could build up a nice little nest egg for her when she turns 33, Amanda, 30 years from now. I also do a savings account for her that I established 2 years ago.
I don't know enough about today's savings bond market to make a educated assessment here.
I know they make no money. They make no money.
Yeah, my gut tells me that you're overcomplicating things. Just continue to contribute to the savings account.
And, you know, they could put that into an index fund. It can't be an IRA, but you can open up a custodial account and you are the custodian and you can put money into an index fund and that money can double every 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
But so you'll have to pay taxes on them, but.
A $50 savings bond takes 20 years to mature.
Oh my God.
That's so you can't do anything with that savings bond for at least 20 years. And what if something comes up?
Right. If you have a child, brand newborn, we talked about this before, newborn. If grandparents, somebody puts $10,000 into an index fund when they're born, millionaire when they retire.
Yeah.
Done. They had to do nothing. One time shot, deposit the money. Way in a million at 65.
Easy. Okay, so I did find it here, Craig. According to the Treasury Department, a Series EE savings bond issued right now will earn an annual fixed rate of 0.1%.
Oh, my. 0.1? It's not even 1%.
Right, 0.1%.
Oh, my God.
So as we've said again and again, I believe the best way to save money is through a high yield interest savings account online with one of the providers like Marcus by Goldman Sachs or Ally. In our group, I did post a referral link for Marcus that will give you an additional 0.2% for your first 3 months you have the savings account open. Right now, the going rate for these, now again, nothing is a great rate right now because the interest rates are at historic.
Right.
And let me repeat that, historic lows. But you can get, I think the going rate right now as of this recording is 0.5%. So that's 5 times as much as what you would get with the savings bond.
There you go.
Yeah. Simple. So I would skip it. It's going to take 20 years to mature.
That's stupid.
It's very stupid.
I hate to use the word stupid, but it is stupid. Nah, don't do it. Don't do it.
Right.
0.1%.
Yeah. So savings bond are sold at half their face value, but they do take 20 to 30 years to mature.
So a 25 savings bond takes 20 years to make 50.
No, you have to hold it for a full 30 years for that.
Oh, for Pete's sake. That's stupid.
Yeah, at 20 years, it'll have the face value. And then if you hold it another 10 years, then it will be worth more.
Oh, my. Forget that. No way. No. I can double my money every 8 to 10 years on an index fund. There you go. All right. Well, let's move on because that depresses me. I had a bunch of these double E's, by the way, that people would give me. Yeah,
I would say skip that. And also, remember, when they're 33, they have to pay tax on whatever income they cash in.
And so basically they get nothing. All that trouble. Yeah. I think that's a generational thing with our grandparents.
It was, and it was cute then, but.
Yeah, they had war bonds. They had all these crazy bonds. That's what they're used to. Nowadays, I was surprised to even see this question. I'm like, people really do savings bonds still?
Apparently they do.
Apparently they do. All right. Question number 5. Does my 15%, which is baby step 4, Amanda, it's 50% of your income towards your retirement. So does my 15% in baby step four include my company match or just my portion?
It only includes your portion. So yeah. Anything that's company match, we don't include in the 15% calculation. That is just what I like to call icing on the cake.
Yep. There's a number of people in our group on Facebook, facebook.com/rockonthemoney, that are working for an airline where they get actually a very high company match of 9.3%. And so yeah, they're doing 10%.
That's crazy insane.
It's insane. And pilots actually make more than that. It's the highest in any workplace.
Yeah, that's really cool. But so why cheat yourself 10%. Out of money?
Yeah. They're doing 10% and counting the 9% as part of that 15. And what we coaches do the 15, that 9.3 is awesome. That's your icing. Then it gets you up to 25.
Yeah. 15% is all you. It has to be all 100% your effort to get to that 15%. And then the company match would be on top of that. And the reason we say that is because these company match programs can be changed at any time and at the whim of the employer. So yes, you have a awesome company match now, but there's nothing to say they can't go to 0% next year. And then you're left holding the bag, making up that difference. So I never rely on company match. To me, it's just like, oh, cool. A bonus was just dumped into my account. And that's great. But the 15% really has to be you. Plus, it's kind of a backdoor way of being able to contribute more than the cap each year.
Because the goal is we want to max out the annual deposit into that account of $19,500. And this will help you get there.
Yes.
At a much faster rate. And once it's maxed out, now you can't contribute anymore. And your paycheck goes up. But then we're going to go open our IRA, Roth IRA, which is question number six. We cannot have an episode without an IRA question. So here we go.
Can we just go back for 1 second here?
Sure.
So I just want to make it super clear that the company match does not count towards the 401k limit. So you on your own can contribute up to the max $19,500 for those under the catch-up age. And then the company match can go above and beyond that. And that's the only way you can contribute more than the 401k limit. And so why not take advantage of that?
And furthermore, company match is a traditional 401k.
It is traditional.
Yours should be the Roth.
Right. So you contribute up to $19,500 Roth, and then your employer company match is always going to be traditional, and that's going to get dumped into your account, and you can either choose to convert it immediately, which is my recommendation, pay the tax on it right away. It's kind of a hit right then and there, but you weren't that wasn't money you were counting on anyway, or you're going to have to pay taxes on it as it grows.
A very large number of employers last year during the pandemic of 2020 did stop the company match programs to save money. To keep so they wouldn't go out of business. That was one of the things they cut. So once again, as we coached before the pandemic, we don't include it because that could happen. And people like, oh no, it always nope. That's what happened. So, question number six: when a Roth 403b is rolled into a Roth IRA, are there still RMDs? My company has great mutual funds. I would like to contribute the full 15% to my Roth 403B, but I worried about RMDs. Thanks for the advice. An RMD is called required minimum distributions, which happens at age 70 and a half. Do you know what's wrong with this whole entire question, Amanda? They are confused about Roth.
Oh, yes.
RMDs only occur during traditional 403s or 401ks or 457s or IRAs. Roth, the taxes have already been paid. What an RMD is, when you're in a traditional account, no taxes have been paid on those deposits.
Yes.
You still owe taxes. And that's why the federal government says, look, you got all this money banked down there. We now want our money. So they require you.
It's time for you to start paying your taxes on this.
That's the only reason that exists. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to start taking the required amount of distribution so that you can be required to pay taxes on it.
Right. Because they're afraid it's going to keep getting inherited and inherited and inherited and nothing's going to happen. They want their money. However, everything that's said in here, they already have Roth to Roth to Roth to Roth. You're done. There is no such thing as a required minimum distribution for a Roth. You're good to go. Now, if you inherit it, those people may have to do that in the future. But as far as you and your Roth, you're good to go. There is no RMDs.
Right, because you've already paid taxes on it and the government doesn't care. And
but your kids or whatever may have to do that. That's a whole different thing. It's situational, but no, you're already good to go.
Yeah, that was a really good question.
No, it was. And once again, I think people really get hung up on this Roth thing. Mm-hmm. They really, and it's super simple. It's when the taxes were paid.
Yeah, you're better off when you see the word Roth, you just have to ask yourself the question. Have I paid taxes on, has the contribution been pre-tax or post-tax? If it's post-tax, that equals Roth.
There you go. In your paycheck, did it come out before the taxes or after payroll taxes?
A lot of people like the idea of pre-tax because there's this whole, then I get to reduce my annual income and pay less income tax on it. Well, sure, you're paying less income tax now, but then you're shooting yourself in the foot by having to pay higher income tax when you're retired versus zero income tax when you're retired.
Because wouldn't it be awesome that all the gains that you make from now till then, you don't have to pay any tax? That's tax-free money. That's the benefit. So that is so awesome. I wish I had that when I started working. They did not have Roth. That sucks. That sucks for me.
Yeah. And I just did a big conversion from traditional to Roth this year. So I'm, withhold some taxes, but I'm not looking forward to seeing my tax return.
Yeah, but at your age, that's a smart thing to do.
I love how you continue to think I'm young.
You are. Oh my God. I'm at halftime. You're not even you just come out of the first quarter of the game.
So it's no secret that I'm 40 now. And I saw these memes this week of what kids in school thought 40 years old means. This one kid said,
what did they say?
Well, so they were asked to start their paper with, I am 40 years old. Like they're imagining themselves at 40. And this one kid said, I am 40 years old. I use a cane to walk and I am, I know that I am about to die.
Wow.
Like, okay, then.
What do you think it is like when I'm on their video gaming on Facebook Live, right? And they come in and a lot of kids come in. How old are you? I'm like, I'm 58. And they freak out.
Well, I love the fact that you wear like a do-rag and sunglasses to hide any gray hair or wrinkles. So,
I have wrinkles. What are you talking about?
If you had them, I mean.
Yeah, if I had. No, I have a good webcam that does that facial correction stuff.
Oh, I need that. Oh, yeah. Can I just put like a hat on that constantly gives my face a filter?
Oh, my God. That's what the makeup budget was for, I thought.
That's right. It is. Yes.
That was in your savvy savings. But it is funny when people come in, you look really good for 58. I'm like, I start yelling and stuff. And that's why I have laryngitis.
Yes.
I'm trying to make everyone feel younger because 50 is a mindset.
Craig's got permanent laryngitis now. Yeah.
No, it's not permanent.
Okay. But anyway, I thought that was hilarious. These kids thought 40-year-olds were preparing to die and using a cane to walk.
I feel old.
I know.
I feel like I'm in my 20s. I'm very fortunate because now people are in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm super healthy, but I believe it's a mindset. I do believe I'm at halftime. I got 50 more years to go.
All right.
I know it's wacky, but that's what old people think. Let me go get my cane. I got to go. Thank you, Amanda. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.